Good morning, everyone. It's good to see some old faces, good to see some new faces. It's a blessing to gather in His name. I'm going to start with some announcements, and then we'll get back into our worship service. September 14th, we're having a church picnic over at Lions Park. Put that on your calendar. It's a great day. And crossed in the twilight dim, the sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you are wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said. A youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that was as naught to me. To that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. I'd like to invite Victor up to share a word, to share his heart.
Morning. We never know when the Lord brings somebody into your life and has a great impact on you in a special way. I got to know Nat late in his life. And he had a special impact on me. Regardless of the big age difference. And he was very, very spunky man. I helped him with a few jobs he needed help with. Enjoyed doing it. But one thing for sure, he enjoys sharing the word. And we enjoyed discussing the word together. Towards the end of his life, we get together and just discuss scripture in a strange way because we would talk about his funeral and he preparing his death in the way. We would talk about it and he was fine with it. It affected me a little bit more when we discussed certain scripture. But we know that that's what it takes for us to be with the Lord. So we would just read scripture and he would comment about a few things he would like to be said at his funeral and just how our relationship was special. Hattie's wearing in the picture, Make America Great Again, I gave it to him, and he was so excited, he would wear it all over. But during our time together, he asked me, hey, Vic, would you do me a favor and read one of my favorite Psalms 100? And I said, sure, Dad, of course. And that's what I'm going to do right now on behalf of Nat. Psalm 100, his steadfast love endures forever. A psalm for giving thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. That with this. See you someday again, my brother.
Can I get your mic? Does anybody else have something that they want to share about Nat? Ron?
I don't know most of you guys, but I knew Nat pretty well. We spent a lot of time together. He'd come out to my men's Bible study. He'd drive an hour plus to get there. And he always brought a word. He always brought, there was an excitement in Nat when he got to talk about the Lord. And I cannot help but feel joy for where he is.
Amen.
He touched so many lives, as Victor said, he touched his own. You know, on my way here this morning, I was thinking, picturing a rowboat that was on the waves. I was telling Gary about it. And you have a cracked bucket, and you're trying to bail. But it works, even though some comes out. And that wasn't perfect. But we loved him, and he loved God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And he uses us wherever we're at. So don't forget his example, his trust, his faith in God, his love for mankind, in spite of the cracks. Bless you guys for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Well, I'll share a quick story then. I don't know, sometime last year, I think Victor, you brought him out to the farm, right? And so he came out because he had heard that we had a wood mill, and he was blown away that somebody would own one of these things and have it operational, and he wanted to come out and see it. And so Kenny and I quickly got the thing running and put together. And so when he showed up, and I think, was that you, Victor, that brought him that day? Or okay, so somebody brought him out. I can't remember who it was, because I really wasn't paying attention to anybody else that day. I was watching Nat, and even at his age, he was just walking around with a massive smile on his face, just looking at Kenny cutting boards on this monster mill that we have, and he was just in awe watching this operation happen. And it reminded me of a kid in a candy store, and at his age, he was just loving it, just going, man, is this incredible. And he asked of me, Chris, can you make some wood for me so that I can build a table for for out there in the foyer. And so we have wood that's still drying that hopefully someday we can put together, build a table in Nat's honor for the foyer out there. So it was a blessing to see the joy in his heart, like you were saying. Just the joy watching him praise God for that moment where it touched his heart. Does anybody else have anything else they would like to share?
I just want to say, I'm Laura's sister. Nat was my brother-in-law. And yes, he could be very ornery. But he did love sharing the Lord. And he would be very humbled today for what you're doing here. And we would like to thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. And so after service, Laura has brought some wonderful food from where she works over at Reams Meat Market. And so hang out after service. We're going to fellowship. We're going to enjoy some more stories about Nat and some good food. And so hang around and bless one another in that time. So let's spend a couple minutes now, as always, greeting one another. Let John come up and set up and bring the message to us. It's going to be in honor of the Lord, and it's also going to honor Nat.
Hallelujah. How's everyone doing today? Everyone good? Good. Okay. Awesome. It's nice. Like Chris was saying, it's nice to see everyone here today. Honoring God for Nat's life, which is a great blessing and time and opportunity. So thank you for that. We are really excited and happy to share something that Nat shared with us. And that's what God put in our hearts right now. So in honoring Nat and God through what he did in his life, that's what we're trying to do today, recognizing that. And hopefully at the end of the day, we can also understand that we are also part of that. We received those blessings from God through Nat, but God is also still working in us, also here, that we're still on the earth. So hopefully that's the goal of today's sermon. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for the opportunity and time to be here today. Thank you for the life of Nat during his time over here on the earth. Thank you for his friends. Thank you for all the things that you did through him. And thank you for the things that you're still doing in others' people, in our life, that Nat's legacy left from you in us. Thank you for that. We praise you. We worship you. Father God, please, be you speaking to the church, not me. I want to ask you to please remove my own thoughts, flesh, mentality, desires, anything. Remove it. And be you speaking to the church. Please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, touch their hearts, touch their minds, and continue blessing us, transforming us according to the will of our Father God. We praise you and we worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So there's two things that I want to share with you guys today based on Nat. Nat, he shared with us in the time that we knew him, he shared with us two topics. He had it in his heart. And I want to share with you guys those topics because I think that's what God wants us to do today in honoring him. And the first one that he shared with us, I don't know if you guys remember, it was the Mount of Olive. You guys remember that? So the Mount of Olive, Nat was getting a lot of information and studied that, and then he shared with us. And there's a lot of different things in the Bible related to the Mount of Olive. A lot of different experiences on that mountain. All the things that happen over there that is still impacting today. And that's why I opened saying that Nat life is still impacting our life right now today. And it's a blessing because we are getting exposed to all these different people, culture, work, family, relative, neighbors, neighbor, everything. And these things are teaching us how to be better, how to grow. I learned a lot from Nat. And he shared with me a lot of different things. But when we go through the topic of the Mount of Olives, I believe that what he had in his heart, it was to show God what God is doing in our life, which is representative of what God did or is still doing in the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, when we go through that historically, we can see different things over there. There's churches over there right now. There's right now different type of things going on over there because some people also are taking the opportunity to get some tourists over there, tourism, and get benefit. But there's also on the Mount of Olives, in the bottom part, there was the Gethsemane, which is the part where Jesus Christ was over there. And we can tell different stories over there. David, for example, he went over there to escape from his son Absalom when Absalom was rebelling against his father David. So he was over there weeping because his son rebelled against him, his kingdom. And then we can see also Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was over there teaching, preaching. He was over there weeping by Jerusalem. And there's different stories that we want to share with you guys today through the scripture that hope that helps to open our hearts and mind to understand what the Mount of Olives is meaning in our hearts right now today. Also, in the Mount of Olives, you can see over there that there was, still today, they have it, based on the Jewish cemetery. They have like over 150,000 people grave over there because they believe that their Messiah still need to come. And they want to be buried or buried over there in that location where they are still expecting their Messiah, which is the Mount of Olives. They're still expecting that. You and I, we know already by believing in Christ, he already came. We are waiting the second coming. And there's a scripture that I will share with you guys that also tell that in his second coming, he will come in the same place that he was ascended, which is the Mount of Olives. So special, this mountain. You have too many things going on over there. But there's one scripture that I will share with you guys later. 2 Samuel 15:30. I want to start with that one. But David, continue up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. All the people with him covered their heads too, and were weeping as they went up. And they're still going through that situation. And there's a correlation between Jesus Christ weeping for Jerusalem and also David weeping in the same mountain for the kingdom or his son, Absalom. In Christianity, we believe in Psalm 125, 2, that it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Why? Because we are always thinking, why this thing about the mountains? Why not the valley? Why is this a specific topic or a specific representation of the mountain in the Bible or in any other places? Because it's the high place. Is where you can put over there the temple. It's where God was talking with Moses. It's where God was trying to put also the sacrificial things. It was in the mountain. It was over there on the mountain that he was trying to get the connection and conversation talking to the people. It was in the mountain that he wants to go over there so people can see him in the high place. And that's why when he's saying in Psalm 125:2, he's saying that the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, surround that, protecting that. representation of God. God protecting us, covering us, helping us, providing us. Never forgetting that He's the one that is protecting and covering us, surrounding our life. And that's why the representation of the mount. We can talk about different mountains over there, not just the Mountain of Olives. Mount of Zion. There's another mount over there. The other things happen over there. But the Mount of Olives is the one that a lot of different impactful things happen. That's why some churches right now, they build their churches over there. Because they ascend from Jesus Christ, and now we have a church over there. We have the Gethsemane situation over there when Jesus Christ was praying. Now we have a church over there right now. And that's fine. But what is the purpose of that? What is the intent of God showing us or revealing to us the purpose of the mountain? What happened over there that is still impacting our hearts right now today? And in Acts 1, 9, it says, after he said this, he was taken up. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. Before their very eyes, the disciples, and a cloud hit him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky, and he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, men of Galilee, they say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was being taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostle returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. So that happened over there. And that's why we, as a Christian, believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be in the same place that he went up. It's Bible, not me. And that's what we are trusting and believing. Having the faith that that's going to happen. Because there was witnessing that experience in that moment that Jesus Christ went up and confirmed this. Another scripture that I want to share with you guys is Luke 19:41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what will bring you peace. Please pay attention to this one. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Why it was hidden? The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's why it was hidden. Because they didn't recognize God's time coming to you. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. Like always, I apologize. I have it in my heart. I have experience doing funerals. This is not a funeral. But I always share this. And I'm going to say it with a humble heart. I don't have it over there. It's Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, 22. I'm going to start from 18. Sorry, guys. If you have the Bible, take it out. This is your opportunity. Matthew 8:18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nest. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I'm not saying this, guys. This is Jesus Christ. I'm just sharing the word of God. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. With a humble heart, we believe that that is in God's glory. We trust in that. Amen. What about us right now that we're still on the earth? He's over there. He already won the race. What about you and me? We're still here. I always share this in the funerals. Glory to God. Of those believers that die believing in Christ, they are in heaven with him. But what about you and me and the rest of the people, the humanity that is on the earth? We're still here. There's people that still need salvation. And that's why Jesus Christ was talking in Luke 19, 41, and shared over there, weeping, looking to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, because he knew. He knows there's still salvation. People need salvation. But the point that I was highlighted over there is when he said, but it's hidden from your eyes. Why? Because at the end, when he says 44, at the end he says, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And that time is today. The time that God is coming into your life is right now. Do not let anything hiding that from you. Take it off. God's coming to you is right now, at this moment, if you don't have it. That's why Jesus Christ was weeping, because he wants to bring peace to the earth. He wants to bring love to everyone. And he's calling everyone for that salvation. The Mount of Olives have different things that we can continue talking about. And I'm just sharing some pictures over there so that way you have a perspective, the beauty of that location, what if God intends to do everything over there. I want to move on now to the next topic. The next topic that Nat shared with us is the Tower of the Flock. That was the other title, the topic that he had in his heart, and he shared with us. It was a blessing to us, because what we learned, or at least I learned from that, it was the representation of that in our life. Right now we can correlate that Tower of the Flock with the Nativity, born of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's good. Let's go, what is the intent and representation of that tower in our life, and what was the intent that God had for that tower in that time over there? Mainly, it was to gather all the sheep over there, all the lambs, and covering them, protecting them, and then take care of them, maintain them, ready to the sacrificial. So it was important. The other representation, an important thing for that tower, it was to go up there and take a look of the sheep, the flock, and take a look. Okay, there's no harm to them. There's nothing over there. There's no one that is going to steal the sheep or the flock. There's nothing going on. So they can also witness, visualize what's going on with the flock. Now, when we go and take a look of the Jesus Christ point of view, that's the location that he was born. And he's a lamb. He's the greatest lamb. He was there. And then they put it in or on a manger. In the manger. Thank you. They put it over there. What was the intent for the manger? It's for food, right? To provide food to the animals, horses, cattle, name it. They put Jesus Christ over there to provide food and salvation to you and to me until today. The Bible says, there's just two scriptures. And all this we learn it from Nat, God through Nat. There's two scriptures. One of them is Micah 4:8. And there's another one in Genesis. And we learn over here what is the intent of God with us. Allow me to start number 6, Micah 4:6. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those I have brought to grief, I will make the lame my remnant. Those driven away a strong nation, the Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion. That's the other mountain. From that day and forever. Here we go, guys. Number 8. As for you, watch tower of the flock. Other version, it says tower. A stronghold of daughter Zion. The former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. So what God was talking over here through this prophet, it was Jerusalem, it's the watchtower of the flock. The old dominion is coming back to you. I'm going to remove the lame. I will remove and I will do everything else. Don't worry. But you are the watchtower. I will give you the strength. I will give you back everything. Because you are the tower of the flock. You are taking care of my sheep. You are taking care of everyone that I'm bringing through salvation with Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose that God is wanting us to understand with this. Also, Genesis 35, when we go to Genesis 35, we will learn over there that Israel, that was the moment that Rebekah was giving Benjamin born, when it was Benoni, they changed the name, and she died during labor. After that, exactly after that, Israel just went by the tower of the flock and put his family over there because he was looking that protection, that God to be over there watching him and protecting him. That's the symbolism of that. Because right now Israel is just with his newborn and Rebecca just passed away. The intent that Nat have for this teaching to us is to understand God's plan in our life. That we need to understand what is the plan of God in our life. Because otherwise, anything else will take that place of the plan of in our life. It can be your work, it can be your life, it can be the stress of bills, paying everything at home, right? And everything in your life, it will be all the plan in your life, it will be just because of this. I need to have a financial statement. I need to have everything in my life. I need to have a work. And I'm not saying don't have it. I'm just saying that sometimes that's taking over the priorities of the plan of God in your life. Plan of God in your life is the most important thing because the other things, it will happen by itself. God will continue providing all the other stuff. And that's what God wants us to understand between the tower of the flock and also the Mount of Olives. That's what God talked to my heart and say, my plan, it can be in the Mount of Olives, it can be in Zion, it can be in Jerusalem, it can be Bethlehem, it can be in the tower, it can be anywhere. But my plan for each of you guys is the one that is going to give you the step-by-step that you need, which is going to bring all his protection, blessing, and provision in your life. That's why Job 38:8 says, "Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds his garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I say, this far you may come, and no farther there is where you proud waves halt." He's talking to the sea. I don't know, you guys, what you think about the sea, the ocean, but for me, well, it says that we just discovered like one, maybe 5% or something like that, less. So there's a lot of undiscovered things from the sea, from the ocean. For me, it's powerful. But God is more powerful than that. That's the thing that I'm receiving with this scripture. He's talking to Job and say, "Hey, Job, don't talk to me like that. What are you doing?" And he's using this conversation to Job and say, "You know the sea, you know the ocean, how big, how powerful it is? I am more powerful than that. I can control that. I can tell the ocean, shut up." So that's the plan of God. The plan that he can shut up anything in your life that is not going accordingly to his will. Jeremiah 29:10. We know this one. This is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and place where I have banished you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I carry you into exile." This is what he's saying about you and me. Jeremiah 29, the prophet, God through him. That's what he's saying to you and to my life. The plans that he have with you and me. What a great plans. I don't know if you like those plans, but I love those plans that he have for me. But the things that is mentioned over there, one of the greatest one, it is when you seek me with all your heart. It's kind of telling you and me, seek me, follow me with all your heart. And my plans, which is to prosper you, to protect you, to cover you, to bless you, will just come by itself. The only thing that you need to do is seek me with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts, human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And Psalm 37:23 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights on him. It's just on the one who delights in him. It doesn't say anything else. Just in case. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Just in case. Because you and I were not perfect. We can stumble. But as long my whole heart is with him, as long my delight is in him or on him, he will hold me. I think, just putting everything together, as my receiving from the Lord through Nat teaching when he was sharing these two topics to us. God have a plan for you and for me. It happened, it's still happening. The Mount of Olive, the Tower of the Flock. It's going to continue. It's just understanding that, have it in your heart, in your mind, seeking God with all your understanding, understanding what he's doing in you, trusting in him, having the confidence, conviction that he's the one. Everything else, he will continue leading us and helping us. What a great blessing is having that opportunity, and not just from Nat, but from all of you guys also. Because we keep learning, we keep growing each other together, different experiences and opportunities that we have, that God is giving us. But if we have the focus of those opportunities being God's plan in my life, we will respond correctly to that specific opportunity and circumstances, and then we will grow with him, giving him all the glory all the time. He's the one. Not you, not anyone else. So God's plan for you, number one, it will be salvation. The next steps, sanctification, enjoy it. That's a nice ride. Up and downs, right? We're going like, in those sanctification process, sometimes some of them are easy, some of them are really tough, difficult. But again, if you have that heart and that mind of understanding that is his plan through you, make it easier. So thank you, God, for the teaching and blessing that you gave us through Nat. Thank you for the blessing of knowing him, knowing his friends, knowing his family, knowing everyone through him. And thank you, God, also for all the opportunities. Understanding that we still have the Mount of Olive in our life happening. And that the tower, we are continue learning and growing in that watchtower, looking for each other, learning from each other. What a great blessing. And today, I don't want to take too much time from you. I just want to acknowledge God through Nat for these blessings and give thanks. We will see you soon. And also present to you a salvation from God, from Jesus Christ. If you feel in your heart that you need to come to God, please raise your hand or come over. This is not just a show and a spectacle that people are just seeing who's going to be moving or not. Let me see. No. This is really a conviction between you and God. And this is not even also like another number in the list saying, yoo-hoo, another member. It's more than that. Come on. This is your relationship with God, your heart with him right now. Hallelujah. We love you. We praise you. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Nat. Thank you for bringing him over here on the earth. And use him with whatever way or which way you use him. And thank you for that. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you for the blessings that you are continually doing with the teaching that he left to every one of us. Not just spiritual, but also woodworking. So thank you for that. Thank you for his family. Thank you for everyone that is not here today also. We bless them. We send blessing over them. We send salvation over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the people that are here right now. We love you. We worship you, Father God. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, we're going to play a song. But if you feel that you want to come over, please feel free. We're here. We're just worshiping God. If you feel in your heart, really, a fire from the Holy Spirit want you to get up and come over, please do so. Don't feel bad. Amen.
Would you stand with us for one last song?